Family singing about a real Savior. If we have any visitors here this morning, you wonder, what in the world are all these people raising their hand and that preacher up there on the stage hollering all about? I'll tell you what I'm hollering all about. On my Father's side, I'm damned to hell. On my Heavenly Father's side, He saved my soul from hell. And now, if you can holler about a ball game and holler about money and holler about worldly entertainment that won't go past the grave, I'm going to stand up and show out about the one that saved my sorry soul from hell, that took me out of a drunkard's home and a road of poverty and nothing. And everything I have this morning is because of Him. And I'm not going to refuse to give Him the glory and honor. Matter of fact, I don't give Him near enough. Don't give Him near enough. All right, I want you to please take your Bible this morning, and we're just going to look at one verse. I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. I'd like for you to stand, please. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 6. And I want you to notice what the wisest man that ever lived, outside of Jesus Christ, of course, said. And he nailed it. He was right back then, and he's right today. He said, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? Today, the title of my message, as it is Father's Day, is Looking for a Few Good Men. Let's bow our head. Let's close our eyes. I want Brother Matt Reed to please pray. This morning. Now, if there are any Marines in here today, and I know there's one, then you know that looking for a few good men is the slogan of the United States Marine Corps. And it's often found on recruiting posters, and you'll see it on commercials. You're all probably also familiar with this phrase, the few, the proud, the Marines. See, the Marines say, I'm looking for a few good men. They're not going to find many. I'm looking for a few that's going to step up and do it. And then, of course, if you are a Marine here today, you know the Marine motto, Semper Fidelis, Semper Fi. And that's Latin for always faithful. You see, I want to tell you something here, and this morning I want everybody to listen to me. A good man is a faithful man. And if a man is not a faithful man, he may be a bunch of things, but he's not a good man. You understand? It's impossible to be a good man if you're not a faithful man. But according to the Bible this morning, there is someone in heaven who outranks the Marine Corps. And he is also looking for a few faithful men. But the problem is, faithful men are difficult to find. I've just started it. I haven't said anything hard. Everybody all right? Then that's what our text says this morning. Did you just read it to me? Did you pay attention to what we read? And listen, if faithful men were hard to find back in Solomon's day, how much more of a rare commodity are they today? And I want to challenge every man here today to strive to be a faithful man. And listen, if I have something I want to get across in the introduction before we get into the body of the message, it's this. There are many things, and I'm preaching to men today because today is Father's Day. But if any of this is applicable to any woman in here, of course, you take it and use it for your spiritual well-being, of course. But there are many things that you as a man may not be able to do. But every single Christian in here, whether you're a man or a woman, you can be faithful. I may not have the talent some, I may not have the intellect some, I may not have the opportunity some, I may not have the resources as some do, but every one of us in here can be faithful. Every one of us in here, man or woman, can be faithful. You can be a faithful Christian, and you should be a faithful Christian. So I got 3 points this morning I want to see about God's looking for a few good men. He's looking for a few faithful men. Number one, I want us to see this morning what a faithful man is not. Number two, I want us to see who a faithful man is. And then number three, I want us to see where a faithful man is needed. Now, number one, I want you to understand what a faithful man isn't. So I want all the men to listen to me, especially this morning, so you understand this. A faithful man is not a perfect man. And when I say perfect, I don't necessarily mean it the way the Bible uses it, as complete and mature, but I'm talking about sinless. There are no sinless men. There are no sinless women. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible further tells us if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. All of us in here have sinned and all of us in here are still sinning. And we will sin until they put us to bed with a shovel or we meet the Lord in the air. So a faithful man isn't a perfect man. He isn't a sinless man. Listen, a faithful man isn't a faultless man. He has faults. A faithful man isn't a man that doesn't make mistakes. There's not nobody in here. There's no one in here that doesn't make mistakes. We all do. If you're a man in here and you don't think you make mistakes, let me talk to your wife. She knows them. I'm not just being funny. I mean, she does know them, and she's probably right about most of them. Maybe all of them. Listen, a faithful man isn't necessarily an intelligent man, though he can be. A faithful man isn't necessarily a successful man, though he may be. But listen, God did not call us to be successful. He just called us to be faithful. So all this you get in your mind, like, what? Listen, a faithful man is not a perfect man. It's not a man with a certain amount of gifts and abilities and talents and some kind of super spiritual hero or something. It's not a man that doesn't have problems and doesn't make mistakes. There are no men in here like that, including this fellow that's preaching to you. Everything I say to you applies to me first. If I am not willing to preach a message to me first, I don't deserve to get to preach it to you secondly. So none of us are perfect, but that doesn't constitute a faithful man. A faithful man doesn't have to be talented or gifted. The most needed gift of all the spiritual gifts, in my opinion, in the Bible is the gift of helps. And you read about that gift in 1 Corinthians 12:28. And do you know what the main quality that is needed if you're going to exercise the gift of helps? Well, it's availability. Not ability. It's dependability, not ability. That is the greatest gift that you can offer to a local church. I want you to think about something. I already had this written in my notes, but I'm glad that Mark sort of showed out with his family and is playing today because I had him written down as the illustration. Nobody in here in their right mind would argue about the fact that Mark Brantley is a super piano player. There's people with thousands in their church that do not have a piano player like we have. He is super talented. He has an unbelievable ability. And he, if something ever happened where he couldn't play the piano anymore, I would jump around and cry and waller in the floor and all until he came back. Is there anybody in here that has, unless you've lived up on a rock, that don't know how good of a piano player he is? However, it wouldn't matter how good of a piano player he is if he don't show up half the time. What does it matter if he can come over here and play this nice, beautiful, expensive piano and you can't depend on him to show up? Well, he might be here, he might not. He's not dependable. He's not available. We've had people come and go through here. Don't you think it's tough on him? You don't know what it does to his throat to try to lead the singing. I know these folks in here can lead the singing better than me. Let me tell all of you something. I don't care how gifted you are, how talented you are, or how spiritual you think you are, in this church, as long as I'm the pastor, the faithful get to play. And the unfaithful sit on the bench. And if you think God needs you or me to keep this program going, you are sadly mistaken. God's not looking at your abilities. He gave them to you. He's not looking at, well, we need you, and what are we going to do if this person quits, if that person resigns? We'll make it. We still have the Lord. But I'd be jumped if we're going to have a church full of unfaithful people leading this thing. Listen, it doesn't even matter to me at all if you amen. Lord, I'm preaching the Bible to you. What we need now is some faithful people. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'd be a hypocrite. I'm not asking you not to mess up or be sinless. I'd be a hypocrite. I'm in the same shape you're in. I'm not saying you're going to hit it all the time. But just being faithful. That people can depend on you. That you're available. Do you know what I've seen God do? And I don't want to just use myself as illustration, but I will, and you can use other people too. I've seen God come right down that country road where I was born and raised down there in South Alabama, out in the middle of nowhere, poor, in the place where I was at, and passed by so many people that were smarter than me. I went to school with them, I know. More gifted than me. They were raised in church, I wasn't. They were taught the Bible at a young age, I wasn't. All of them. I could show you multiple people that ought to be up here doing this today. And I'm not up here doing it because I'm more spiritual. I'm not up here doing it because I've got something on them or I'm just more charismatic or God, you know I ain't charismatic. Or I got some whatever. You know why God put me up here? He knows that with everything within me, I'm going to be faithful. And I'm going to put my Savior over everybody. I'm taking that book and I'm buying the truth and I'm selling it not. And God is first in my life, and He always will be. I may not be the most talented preacher. I may not be the most blessed preacher. I may not be the most gifted preacher. But I can tell you one thing. I'm going to do what He tells me to do with His help, and I ain't quitting with His help, and I'm going to give it the best shot I can with His help. And that means more to the Lord than some of you folks in here that may be very talented and very gifted and very blessed, but we don't know if we can ever depend on you or not. And here's the thing. I can't understand for the life of me why I feel a little bit of blowback right now. Thank you, brother. People in that book and praying will believe that. Where do we get in this day and time that it was all right to be a part of something and just be half-hearted about it? It's just funny to me they're not half-hearted about their ball team. They're not half-hearted about softball. Not half-hearted about the bass club. Not half-hearted about... I didn't know I was going to get this way this morning, but I'll just loosen this and preach a little bit. They're not half-hearted about their fishing buddy. They're not half-hearted about travel ball. Social media. Oh, they're definitely not half-hearted about that. But then we're going to get a little upset. The preacher wants us to come to church a little bit more. That's where the deal is, man. Right there. Got a ticker problem. Let's continue. Let's look at who the faithful man is. You ever looked up the definition of the word faithful? It's someone that's loyal. It's someone that's steadfast in allegiance or affection. It's someone that has firm adherence to promises or observance of duty. So listen, if you are a faithful man here, this means, number one, that you're loyal. You ought to be loyal to God, you ought to be loyal to His book, and you ought to be loyal to others. And we're going to talk about those folks in your life, men, that you should be loyal to. Number two, if you're a faithful man, it means that you keep your promises. There are some people that you have promised some things to, and you ought to keep them. Number three, if you're a faithful man, it means that you can be depended upon to do your duty. And I want you to notice in this verse we read this morning that the Bible lets us know that it isn't what you think or say about your character, but what God says. And it does not matter what you think about your supposed faithfulness. What does God say? Because He tells you in that verse number six, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Listen here this morning. It's not what I think about you. Who cares what I think about you? I'm a man just like you. I put on my pants one leg at a time just like you. I'm going to stand before God and give an account just like you. There ain't no separation of clergy and laymen and folks like that and a preacher walking around like he's some kind of special something. I'm just as much a child of God in the very same way as you. God doesn't love me no more. He doesn't favor me no more. He just called me to preach. That's it. That's all there is. It's not we're up here and everybody's down there. It's not that at all. Not that at all. But it doesn't matter what I think about myself. And it doesn't matter what you think about yourself. And it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about themselves. What matters is, what does God think about you? Do you know what I realized years ago? If many Christians would just be half as concerned with what God thinks about them as they are concerned about what everybody else thinks about them, you overnight will be twice as good a Christian as you've ever been. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, the Bible says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Now, many times we use that because it's talking about the mysteries, that a man that's going to preach is a steward over the mysteries of God, and certainly that application is there. And if you're going to be a pastor, if you're going to be a preacher, it is your job to teach the mysteries. I've taught them here before. It's been a few years. I'll teach them again. But listen, whether you're a man or a woman in here today, you are a steward if you've been saved. Now, I come out of the Southern Baptist Church, and we used to have what was called a stewardship Sunday. Any of you ever remember anything like that? And they talked to you about stewardship, and they talked to you about being a steward of the money that you have, and it probably was mostly about money, but there's other areas. But it was talking about being a good steward, and I think it was a good thing. I think it was a good thing to remind us, so I'm going to remind you this morning. It's a good thing to remind all of us that God has left us in charge of some things. He's made us stewards over some things that belong to Him, but He's given them to us to take good care of them. And we ought to be found faithful, and it says that. Listen, everyone in here, God's given you a certain amount of time. Do you know what one of the most valuable things is in your life is time? Now, I don't know how long you're going to live, and I don't know how long I'm going to live. But you see what I see back there? I look past Sister Amanda, and I look past the camera, and there's a big clock on the wall back there. And guess what's happening? It's going like this. It's going click, 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 click. And some of you are saying, wrap it up, buddy. I want to beat the Methodists to the Grecians. Click, 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 click. You know, every time it clicks while I'm just standing here stalling, we can't get it back. God's allotted each and every one of us so much time, so much money. Some of you have a good bit of money. Some of you may not have two pennies to rub together. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you got a lot or a little, just as long as you're a good steward over it. He gives you talents. Listen, God doesn't just give you talents and abilities to earn a living and put money in the bank and stuff your face. He gives you talents and abilities to use for Him. He gives you a Bible. He gives you truth. Listen, now we are a Bible-believing church up in here, ain't we? And we say that we believe that the King James Bible is the perfect Word of God. And we say that this has the words of life. This is not a fairy tale book, like some may say. I mean, we got people of all. We got people that don't have a high school diploma in here, and we got people with doctorate degrees in here, and we got people of all kind of professions. It's just working people, intellectual people, teachers, you know, carpentry people. All we got all kinds of people in here, but it doesn't matter. We all come to agreement that we say this is God's perfect book. Is that what we all agree on? If this is the most important book in the world, why aren't some of you faithful to read it? Now, I do know that we have some people in here. I know the testimonies of them. We have some people in here that are very faithful to read it. And you read it often, and you read it regularly, and you read it daily. And I'm glad you do, and I praise the Lord for you. But there's some in here that don't. And we're not being a good steward of what God gave us. He gave us the most precious book in the world. Listen to me. You may be educated in your physics book and your chemistry book and your trig and geometry and algebra and English and history and philosophy and psychology and all that other stuff that they make you get in college just so they can get you money. That was funny. I do believe some of that. Listen, man, let me just sidetrack from on that thought. I went to school for 4 years to get a theology degree to be a preacher. And they got me doing this crazy math and this philosophy stuff. You know, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, does it make a sound? I'm like, no, the better question is, if I punch you in the nose and it bleeds, does it hurt? You know why they're putting some of that stuff in your curriculum? It ain't to help you be a preacher. It's to make you pay more money to them. That's what I think anyway. Philosophy. Who cares if I can do a quadratic equation? Hard crowd today, sonny. But you ought to be faithful over all the stuff that he's given you. Be faithful. Now, this is my final point, and maybe the most important. Where a faithful man is needed. Well, first of all, we need a faithful man in the home. And what I'm talking about is we need faithful husbands and we need faithful fathers. We need fathers that want to spend more time with their youngins than their buddies out on the weekends. You cannot be a leader at home if you're not at home. We need fathers that love their children, are involved in their children's life. We need husbands that love their wives like Christ loved the church. Ain't that what the Bible's saying? The Bible says that if you marry a woman, you are to love her like Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? Unconditionally and sacrificially. He died for it. No, you may not ever have to physically lay down your life, but will you lay down your wants and your desires and your emotions? Will you die to what you want to take care of her? You're supposed to. That's what a faithful man does. You're faithful to your wife. You're faithful to your children. Listen, let me tell you something, men, that I know about most women. Most women are not looking for a perfect man. They gave that up years ago. Most Christian women are very understanding. They're much sweeter and nicer than men. They're much more understanding than men. They're much more patient than men. Now, I know there's exceptions to the rule. I know you're saying, well, you don't know my... I don't want to know about it. I'm just saying the rule is women are kinder, gentler, patient, more understanding and loving than men. Now if you don't believe that, you've got rocks for brains. And don't give me some example of some old battle-axe woman you know about. That's the exception to the rule. The rule is that women are sweeter and kinder and nicer and gentler and better to be around than most men. Is that the truth? Well, let me tell you what I know about most women. They are not looking for perfection because they know they ain't going to get it with you. But don't you think it'd go a long way with your wife if she knew you were trying? Don't you think it'd go a long way with your wife if she looked at you and she said, when I turned that light out tonight and I looked over there at my husband, the man laying in the bed with me, when he shuts his eyes and I shut my eyes, we're going to sleep. That's a faithful man. I trust that man. He has eyes for me only. He loves me. He's going to do his best to take care of me. He's going to be there for me. He would sacrifice for me. He'll die for me. He'll be there for me. I trust him with my money. I trust him with my life. I trust him with everything. And the reason I do is because I have tried that man and he has found to be faithful. And if your wife can't say that about you, there's something wrong with me or you. We ought to have that testimony. Number two, you ought to be faithful on the job. We have this trouble, especially with this COVID stuff and everything. I'm telling you, we're getting the sorriest service I have ever gotten at restaurants in my life. Do you know why that is? Because don't nobody work. You know what my daddy told me years ago? I've said this here before. This is what my daddy said years ago. He said, son, he said, there's a difference between a sorry man and a lazy man. I said, what's that, daddy? He said, well, a lazy man will go to work, but when he gets there, he won't do anything. He said, a sorry man won't even get a job. A lot of truth to that. My daddy didn't even graduate high school. He has some sense about him in that. Are you a faithful man on the job? I will get up and go to work for my family. We need a faithful man in the neighborhood. Can your neighbors depend on you, maybe to witness to them, maybe to be a good neighbor to them? A lot of people don't even know who their neighbors are, don't even talk to them. Can they depend on you and say, well, boy, there's a tragedy. It just happened down the street or whatever. Let's go get the Knowleses or let's go get the Pierce. I know that they know the Lord. They've been a good neighbor. I've lived by them for 5 years, 10 years. Those are good people. They can get a hold of God. Or they wouldn't even know that you live there. Used to, that old dirt road that I grew up on a dirt road. You go way out in the country. And out on a paved road, then you turn off a paved road and it turns into dirt, and that's where we live. We lived on a dirt road. And down that dirt road was some Knowles land that the Knowleses owned and other people owned, and it went way back in there, and we had a boat landing back there and a river. The river ran in there, and there's beaver ponds and all kind of stuff. But there's also barns and farming and whatever, but nobody ever came by that house or came down that road that we didn't know who they were. My daddy'd be sitting there in a recliner, watching Gunsmoke for the 5,000th time. He done seen all the episodes over and over and over. He's watching Gunsmoke, and my daddy would be dipping his snuff, and he had a little spit cup, you know. He'd be sitting there. All of a sudden, he'd look out that window on the porch. He'd jump up and go there. He'd be looking out. My mama would say, what are you doing, James? He said, oh, that's old so-and-so driving in there. I was just going to see who it was and sit back down. You know, the last few years when I went home, these folks coming in and out, and people out. And I'll ask my mom or some of them, who is that? I don't know. Well, who is that? I ain't never seen that truck. I don't know. Well, where do you reckon they're going to? I don't know. Do you know what's happened over the last few years? People go home and turn their shades down and just say to blank with the world. Now, you never say that with your mouth, but our actions show that. We're not faithful to our neighbor. You ought to be faithful to your church. Matter of fact, when I was looking up the word faithful in Webster's 1828, it said, this is actually the phrase it had in Webster's 1828 definition. Church members in full communion in good standing. It uses that, it cited that as an example of being faithful. It said church members that are in full communion in good standing. You ought to be faithful in the church. We just need a few good men and a few good women that I can depend on. We have some here. We have some here. And I and the Lord, mostly the Lord, don't worry about me, desire more. But most of all, we ought to be faithful in God's family as a child of His. He should be our number one priority. Would you listen to me today? I'm not asking something that's unreasonable of us, men. I'm not asking you to give something I can't give or nobody can give. But every single Christian in here can be faithful. You can be faithful to those that you love. You can be faithful to God's book. You can be faithful to your Savior. You can be faithful to your husband, faithful to your wife. You can be faithful to your children. You can be faithful to your neighbors. You can be faithful to your church family. You can be faithful. Listen, everybody in here can be dependable. Dependability has nothing to do with intellect, resources, or talent. It has to do with character. And that's why so many people are not faithful. It's a character problem. As I conclude this message this morning, I want to say that the longer that I'm in the ministry, the more I see the disappearance of faithful men and women in the church as well as outside of the church. And what I'm beginning to see now as the years go by in my ministry is that marriage vows mean nothing anymore. There are more children being raised by grandparents right now than ever before because their own mom and daddies won't raise them or either not fit to raise them. Nobody ever goes to work for a company for 30 years anymore like they used to. You know why? The company don't care about the employer, the employee, and the employer, you know, you don't. The fellow working for you don't care, and why is he going to care? Because the fellow hired him. You folks that work in a factory, you know how that is. You're just another number to them. They don't care how much overtime you have to do and how much time you miss with your family. Just work, 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 production, production, production. There was a time when people owned businesses that they cared about their employees. And employees wanted to please their employer because they were good employers. And a man went to work when he was young, just like Darby's daddy did. He retired 30 years at the same company, 30 years at the same company, up there in Pennsylvania, where he's from, where he was born and raised, where my wife is from. That's almost unheard of now. Nope. Do you know what it is? Nobody is committed to anything anymore. Folks, I'm not trying to offend you, but does any of this resonate to you? Is any of this, am I telling the truth about some of this stuff? And listen, I don't want to beat a dead horse this morning, but I don't understand where we've gotten to where people come and join the church. And then after they join the church, they don't show up half the time. Or take a position. And always not there. I'm not talking, listen, folks, if you're sick or on vacation or you're working, God knows that I wouldn't hold that against you. God doesn't hold that against you. But that's not what I'm talking about. And I don't understand it. I've realized that we live in a sad day in this country when a man's word, and I'm talking about a Christian man's word, means absolutely nothing. Loyalty is just a thing of the past. And worst of all, much of man's unfaithfulness is directed toward the things of God. Now, our text this morning, as we close, asks us all a very important question. This was the question to ask us, and I'm preaching to men today, now, but if it applies to women, great, but I'm preaching to men. It said, a faithful man, who can find? So the question to you this morning, listen, men, is not whether or not I can go down the street and find a faithful man. The question for all of us here today is this: can I look in the mirror and find a faithful man? And God help all of us if we can't. Ever head bowed?